Okay, well, I pray that this will be an encouraging word, so forth. But I was led a few different ways by the Holy Spirit when thinking about what to talk about today. But what just kept coming through and kept coming through, and I think a lot of us are dealing with this sort of thing at this time. And at any rate, my topic is, what do we do as Christians when bad things happen? I think most of us will agree that every so often bad things happen. Okay? And I think that, well, around here anyway, you drive down the road and every so often you see one of these little hand stenciled signs that says, "No matter what, trust Jesus." And sometimes I look at that and it kind of upsets me. I suppose that's something rising up in me that isn't good, whatever, but I think, but gee, it can't be just that simple, can it? But so it is that simple, I think, but it's also that hard. It's also that hard. Just trusting Jesus, sort of not the way we're made. We want to do it ourselves. We want to figure out
Right.
or just go somewhere and have somebody else fix it or something. At any rate, so I want to talk about this a little bit, but first of all, I should say, although we're going to talk about some bad things that happened to us and happened to people we know, and I'm going to encourage people later to perhaps share how you've gotten through times where you had to deal with something bad or maybe are right now. But anyway, first I should just say, God has been very good to me, very good to me and to Joan. We've had a very good life. We've lived in a number of very interesting places, and we've had lots of good friends and everything, and we have two wonderful children and five wonderful grandchildren and so forth. And we get up every morning and we go out and we do a little study in God's word and so forth, and we praise God, and it's a beautiful blue sky most of the time around here and so forth. And so God is good. God is good, and he's been very good to us. But these bad things can happen. It can happen, and they do. So just, I'm not going to go into detail on these, at least right now, but just in our own lives, for example, both of my younger sisters have died. My one sister died at age 44 of acute alcoholism. And that was hard. It was very, very hard. It was very upsetting for the whole family. Both my parents were still alive at the time, and oh no, my dad had passed just a couple of years before that. At any rate, it was very hard. And her youngest child was 12 years old, and he came to live with us, and we had to move from Illinois to Ohio, and that was an interesting several years while he grew up with us. My other sister, the youngest sister, died just a few years ago at age 61 of cancer. It was a cancer that the doctors felt it was that it had come from taking fertility drugs that she took when she was younger in order to have children. And at any rate, they think that's probably what caused it. But the really great thing about that whole incident was it was in the process of dealing with the cancer and dying that she came to the Lord, that she came to the Lord. And the last couple of years of her life while she was dealing with cancer, she actually had a better attitude about life and everything than she'd had for decades or almost all of her life before that. She led kind of a hard life, and it was tough and everything, but it was amazing what God did there. And we and some other people were able to lead her to Christ, and that was wonderful. But it was hard. It was hard. And then both of our children, Jenny here and her brother Jim went through divorces. These were hard. It was hard for us. It was harder for them, of course. They married people they met in the church. You know, they were all young, 19, 20 years old. Supposedly these were, you know, that this was what God wanted, marrying people in the church. And then they were, Jim was just married 4 or 5 years, and his wife decided she didn't like being married, and she was studying women's studies at Kent State University. And one of the things she became convinced was that all men oppress all women, and she just needed out. And this was very hard. It was very hard. And I remember Jim coming to our house. He lived in the same town with us at the time, and he just was beside himself. I mean, he was crying and so forth and everything. And I remember as we worked our way through that, whenever I would think about it, I would just sigh. I would just sigh. And I would, you know, I'd think, oh, Lord. And I sort of a big sigh, you know. And then sometime later, not too awful long ago now, Jenny went through her divorce. And again, it was a guy she met in the church. And he tried various business things and they didn't work out. And finally, his business was failing. And he just decided he needed a reset in life. And he just walked up and left Jenny, left the kids, and so forth. And it was funny. My reaction to that was not when I thought about it. I just sighed. My reaction to that one was, I'd be mad. I was mad at him. How could you do this to your family? At least with, in Jim's case, there weren't any children yet. There weren't any children. But now there were children and there was a family to take care of and so forth. And it just would make me mad. Okay. But then, you know, we had a house church, you know, when I first God really revealed himself to me and told me in no uncertain terms that Jesus was alive. Jesus was alive. And we had this small house church with just a few people coming every 2 weeks on a Sunday. And in a matter of months after this was revealed to me, it just grew to 50 people in just a matter of months. And it was great. And it was tremendous. And, you know, we had great worship and we had great testimonies and all kinds of things, good things going on. And we even built an addition on the house to accommodate it and so forth. And it was wonderful. But then a couple of years went by and a man came into the church who was very charismatic and he was raised up and the pastors who were coming through every 2 weeks to preach installed him as the pastor of that church and everything. And fairly quickly, he started doing things that divided the church. And it wasn't very long. It was less than a year. And he wanted to separate from the church that had installed him. And at some point, I knew this wasn't right. This wasn't right. And the other guy and myself were sort of the elders there. And we finally told him, well, we invited the people back from Indiana who where the parent church was and removed him. And then it's just like the reverse of before. It went from 50 some people back down to several people and the people who were there were fighting with each other. It was amazing. So you know, it was a real roller coaster. I mean, for a while it's like, wow, it's amazing what God is doing here, and then like, oh, that happened. What happened? Well, so how does one get through these things? I think that the trick in all this is you have to know that you know God. You have to know that God is real, that God is for you, that God is good. And when the bad things happen, it's not like you say, oh, well, I guess God isn't there. Or maybe God isn't real or something like that. You have to somehow or another at some point have gotten to the place in your life where even when the bad things happen, you go to God with them. because you know that's the only place you've got to go. Mm-hmm. It's like he's the only game in town. I mean, what else can we do? Okay. And, but one of the things I think that's important is we have to be real with them. You know, when these things happen, mm-hmm. we go to them. And let me give you an example of a guy we knew, a guy named Jerry Drummond. And, you know, then we, after our church collapsed, we joined another church in the area there in Kent, Ohio. And it was very good. It was a much bigger church and it was more established and so forth. There wasn't a mainline denomination, but it was established. And it turned out to be a great thing for us. And we had a lot of good friends from there, and we still do, and so forth. But one of the other elders there was a guy named Jerry Drummond, who was a professor at Akron University in mechanical engineering. And in his late 40s, he lost his wife to cancer while we were there. And he really loved his wife. He really loved his wife. And she'd been through cancer 2-3 times and gotten all the treatments and everything and managed to come back from it. But then finally, it just became clear that she wasn't going to make it. And she didn't. But it was interesting. It was this way with a couple other women in the church also. As she was dying, she would come to church and she was really quite cheerful. And she would pray for other people and didn't want to talk about herself and so forth and everything. And you could tell she was in pain and suffering and so forth. But somehow she had, quote, made her peace with God or whatever, and she was fine. She was fine with it. But her husband wasn't. He really didn't like it. And when she finally passed, you know, so he was an elder. I was impressed by two things. First of all, it's like, you know, he didn't lose his faith because he already was so well established. He knew that God was real and God had done lots of good things for him and everything. And he knew that God spoke to him and directed him and so forth. And so he went to God with it. He went to God with it, but he was real about it. And I remember when he was sharing with the church one time, he said, "I just told God, I don't like this. I don't like this." And I always remember that, you know. I think there have to be times when we're going through something that we just get together with God and we just say, you know, God, I don't like this. And like somebody pointed out to me, well, don't you think God knows already anyway? I mean, you could try to pretend that somehow it's okay or whatever or anything, but no, God knows where you are and he knows you don't like it, okay? So we might as well be real about it with the whole thing. And what was the other one? Let's see if I have it in my notes here. Mary Smith. Mary Smith, who has been down here several times. She's from Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio, and everything. And she's a wonderful Christian woman. And she lost her husband when he was 47 years old. I don't know what, 25 years ago or something like that now. And they were active in the church at the time, and she's been active ever since. And she's a wonderful, pleasant person, always upbeat and so forth. And that was very hard for her, very hard for her. But again, she didn't leave the church. She didn't leave God. And she went through it. Well, that's fine. That was 25 years ago. But now here, just a couple few months ago, her eldest son suddenly died of the same kind of heart condition her husband had died from. And her son was within 2 months of the same age her husband been when he died at age 47. This is hard stuff. I mean, this is really hard stuff. And she's a very emotional person and everything. And she held it together. He actually was down in Florida at the time with some friends of his. He was married, but he and some high school friends of his, I mean, they were well out of high school. He was 47 years old. But They went down and they were playing golf, and they were just out playing golf. And he said he felt tired and he went back into the hotel room to rest for a while, and he didn't come back. When he said he would, they went in to check on him, and he was gone. And he was gone just like that. Any rate, she held it together long enough, 4 or 5, 6 days to get the body back up to Ohio and to go through the funeral and everything. And she was amazed in the funeral how many people talked about what a wonderful guy he was and everything and all that, and blessed her. But then once she was through the funeral, it just overwhelmed her. It just overwhelmed her, and she couldn't sleep. She couldn't eat. She just mope around the house, and she's not in good health. She has some heart conditions of her own. I mean, actually, since then, she's had 4 stents put in, and so forth. And so it didn't look good. It really didn't look good. But an interesting thing was, right as that was starting, and she just was overwhelmed and couldn't function, couldn't do anything. The pastor at the church she was going to there contacted her and was talking to her, and she told him, "Well, I can't come to church right now. I can't go anywhere. I can't do anything." But what she told him was, "But I'll be back. But I'll be back." In the middle of that, when she was done, she said, "I'll be back." And slowly, after about 2 weeks, she was able to function more. She should be able to eat and keep it down, and actually have an appetite and so forth. And actually, right now, she's doing very, very well.
Yeah.
She's doing very, very well. And she's pretty much entered back into life and so forth. And she's turning back into her bubbly self and everything. But in the midst of all that, she said she was before God, and you can't help yourself at that point. It's like, why? Why, God? Why? And what the Holy Spirit just told her, clear as anything, she says, is, well, the Holy Spirit just told me I have to let God be God.
Yeah.
I have to let God be God. So, we can come to these things and say, well, if I just pray hard enough, if I just get enough people to believe with me, but that works a lot. And I certainly, the last thing I want to do this morning is in any way suggest, we shouldn't pray about things. Let me give you an example the other way. For example, our pastor from this other church we started in Ohio, the bigger one, who he and his wife became very good friends with Joan and I, and they were just down here a little over a year ago to visit with us and so forth. About 2 years ago, his wife came down with cancer. And it was diagnosed as stage 4 cancer, and they gave her a few months, a few months. And so they took her home and they invited the family over. They have three or four, four about 4 kids, I think. And they all just got together, and they prayed and so forth, but they cried, and they cried, he said, and it was like, we're going to lose our mom. I'm going to lose my wife and everything. But they prayed, they prayed that God would do something. And so the doctor said, but we will send you in for chemotherapy, and that may give you a while, may give you a while longer. And so she went in for chemotherapy. And the whole church up there was praying for her. And she did one round of chemotherapy. And they came back, a week or two after that, and they tested her, and they couldn't find any cancer. They couldn't find any cancer. And they came back, a month later, and they couldn't find any cancer. And it's 2 years now, and they can't find any cancer. So please don't think what I'm saying is, oh, well, you get a diagnosis, that's it. That's it. No. The point is, the whole game is with God. It's with God. We have to go to Him and we have to be real. I was reading a novel here recently, and it's not a particularly Christian novel, although it's clear that the guy writing this, what he's doing is he's searching for God. And it's kind of a semi-autobiography. He's done it fictionalized, but it's based on his own life experiences. Like, there's a man who was in prison in Australia for armed robbery, and he managed to escape. And he went to Bombay, India to get away from everybody and you know, used an alias and so forth. And he started falling in with people there, including eventually some mafia people and so forth. But it's amazing, these mafia people, they're Hindu, they're Muslim, they're Christian and so forth. And any rate, they still talk about what God is doing or not doing and so forth all the time while they're running all their rackets and so forth. But anyway, he's talking to the one guy, and the guy says, "So are you a Christian?" And he says, "No, I don't believe in God." And the guy said to him, "No, the real question is, do you know God? Do you know God?" And I thought, this is really interesting. You know, in a way, it doesn't matter whether we believe in God or not, because he's there. You know, he's there. And the real thing is, do we know God? That is, are we on a conversational basis with God? That is, do we pray and actually talk to God back and forth? Do we know God? And if you're going through one of these things, if you know God, God is with you. You know, he told us he is with us always to the end of this age, you know, and he's there. And so, you know, it should be also a little bit like Tevye in
Fiddler on the Roof.
The Fiddler on the Roof, you know, where he just goes around all day long talking to God. That's what he does, you know, and he talks to him about everything, you know. Okay, so his horse is lame, and, you know, and he talks about that, you know. He says, "Yeah, but did the horse have to be lame, God, you know, or anything?" And something about, "Well, you know, I know it's not a disgrace to be poor, but it's no great honor either, God, you know." I mean, he just walks around talking to God all day long. That's, you know, that's the kind of thing. And I'm getting that way more and more. I find myself talking to God more and more. And when good things happen, I don't have any trouble saying, "Oh, praise God. Thank you. That was wonderful. I love that," and everything. But also when things aren't going well, I can just say to him, "You know, God, I don't like this. I don't like this, you know, and maybe I have to work through it. And maybe he's doing this for a reason, for me to see something he wants me to get, you know, but it's all right. I tell him where I am right now, you know,
yeah.
God, I don't like this." And so I think that's the bottom line for us, you know, do we know God? And we have to be real with God. And that's where it all is. It's all, I mean, he's the one who created us. He's the one that created everything. It's all God. But he's good. I mean, 99% of the time I'm praising God. I'm praising God. But there are these dark periods every so often where it's like,
what?
I don't like this. I don't like this. So sometimes I go on too long, but at any rate, that's basically what I wanted to say. But I would love it if people, other people would share. I know some of these things are hard to talk about, but if people would share about perhaps sometime you went through something or are going through something, and it's a hard thing, but being before God, being with God, somehow you got through it. You got through it one way or another. Okay. So, well, let me pray. So, Lord, we thank you. You are God. You are God and we are not. Okay. And you are good. And you are with us always. You're always there. All we have to do is reach out to you, and you are there. And you're with us morning, noon, and night. And you're more aware of what's going on to us than we are, Lord. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the kind of God you are, a faithful God, a good God, an all-knowing God. And we thank you for that help through the really hard times. When bad things happen, we can do what that sign says. We can trust Jesus, no matter what, trust Jesus, because of what Jesus is. Jesus, you are good. You are with us and you are for us. So in the name of Jesus, we pray to you, the God of Israel. Amen.